Would you pray with me? Lord, we do give thanks. We are tremendously grateful for what you have done for us. We are here this morning not because we want anything more from you, but because we want to give back an offering of praise. Because we want to rejoice in who you are. We want to declare to the world around us that you alone are worthy of praise. And if we only have you alone, that would be reason enough to praise. Lord, this morning, would you be the center of our attention? Would you once again remind us of how great you truly are? Lord, would we give thanks with a grateful heart? Lord, in this time, that may be a challenge for us. Lord, would you enlighten our hearts to the blessings that are all around us this morning? It's so easy for us to be distracted from it, to be focusing on the negative, to look at the shadows instead of the light that is causing them. We ask this in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen. Today is a special day. Today is a day that I look forward to every year. It is one of the highlights of my year. Because this is the day that we get to share what God has been doing to us and for us. The goodness he's been pouring out on his people. We get to get a little peek into what God's been doing in the lives of others. Because today is the day we share God's blessings. In about 15 minutes, of course, if he gives me another rant, it might be another hour, who knows. A couple of microphones at the end of each aisle, and I would just request that you come up one by one, but share some of the blessings. If you're online, you can actually share those blessings in the comments. Have people watching those comments, and they will come to the mic and share them for you. So we even have interactive online. I have a couple people here in the audience that are watching, and they'll be able to share those. But I'm looking forward to today a little bit more than usual. I really need this year. After what 2020 has thrown at us, after all the tension, disappointment, uneasiness, crisis, chaos, conflict, I need a reminder. Say it with me. I need a reminder that God is good and all the time. I need that reminder today. Because Thanksgiving doesn't feel like Thanksgiving this year. It feels like something less. It feels like another day in 2020, which, if you've been keeping track, those aren't very good days, at least not by our standard. I don't feel like giving thanks. I don't feel grateful. I'm not seeing a lot to be grateful for. I'm having a hard time mustering up the gratitude to say thank you, God, to praise God for things when there are so many gray clouds hanging over us, a time when there are so few right answers. Look, as a leadership team, we said yesterday in the elders' meeting, there's no right answer to any of this. And that's why it seems so difficult. We have to choose the least bad answer. And that leaves us, as a church, as Christians, as a society, having a hard time being grateful. Tensions are high, resources are low, and I find myself asking, what is there to be grateful for? And as hard as I search, I have a hard time coming up with an answer. Maybe you're like me. Would you be willing to admit you're kind of there right now? Would you be willing to raise your hand? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Dwight's went up first. All right, good. Now, keep your hands up for a second. Look around. This is not just you. This is our condition right now. Leave a comment with a hand emoji, I don't care, to encourage one another. We recognize that this is where we are at. And if you're like me, if you just raise your hand, if you are one of those, if you're not one of those that raise your hand, you better be up to mic later. If you are one of those, I think we need a reminder from Psalm 111. I needed this reminder of the reasons to be grateful that are all around us. Reasons that are all over the place. Psalm 111. Go ahead and turn there if you got your copy of the scriptures. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. Where he starts off saying, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation." Let's pause there for a minute. This psalm was written probably after one of the captivities, Babylonian more likely. And the life in the Jewish society, in Israel at the time, it was not easy. The economy was harsh. Their political scene was they were surrounded by enemies that wanted to destroy them. Their kings were following false gods. The oppressive rulers weren't exactly cooperative if you wanted to do what God wanted you to do. And it is entirely probable that during this time, one of their leaders wrote this to remind the people to trust God to provide, to put God first and let Him meet every need. And he starts off with what is actually a vow, a promise. The writer has determined to praise God no matter what happens. He says, "I'm going to give God thanks with everything I've got, with everything I am." And this is so much more than just a little thank you. It's loaded with a concept of boasting, bragging on, and celebrating someone publicly. We get the opportunity this morning to boast about God. We get to brag on our God this morning. I'm excited about that. How about you? And he says, "I am choosing to do this." He's not saying, "I have so many things to do this for. I have such a motive." He is choosing. You know, sometimes what we need to do is get ourselves by the nape of the neck and choose to be grateful even when we don't find the reasons for it. To choose to be grateful. To say, "No, self, you're looking at the shadows. You're not looking at the light that's causing it. You're looking at the bad times." Would we know what bad times were if we didn't have good times to compare them to? No. "Self, my soul within me, why are you downcast? Rejoice in God." He said, "I will praise God." Sometimes we need to decide to do what is right no matter how we feel. Look, our role on earth is to show how good God is. That's our purpose. How can we do that if we're going to keep praise to ourselves? He says, "I'm going to do this in public." How can we keep God's praises for His good things in our own private situations? We think it's good enough just to be thankful to God. Look, that's like Billy Mays whispering during an infomercial. You guys know who that is? "Just wait 1995 and you get an extra set of Ginsu night." I mean, the most obnoxiously loud voice on an infomercial. We should be that type of person. "Let me tell you how good my God is. Yeah, your problems are big. Yes, our world is broken. Yes, but He's the one that's going to fix it. In fact, He's already begun that work. Let me tell you about it." Folks, we should be a little obnoxious about it. People should want to buy it. Because think about this. If brands can explode overnight just because of what somebody said about it in a TV commercial, can you imagine what would happen if we actually opened our mouths and boasted and bragged about how good our God really is? He is so much better than the next leading product, the next vacuum cleaner or sharp knife. He is quicker than His word is quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. And He is able to purify souls. Can you imagine what would happen? He says, "I am going to praise God." Look, God's works are too great for their praise to be kept quiet. God's works are too amazing for their praise to be kept private. It's got to be public. People have got to hear about it. So it would be like, if we did that, it would be like keeping our money in our piggy bank. Sure, you've still got the blessings, but it hasn't grown. Invest it. Invest it in others. Share it with others. Let it multiply, because when we praise God together, we praise God better. We encourage one another. It multiplies and builds off of each other, and together our praises are more than just the sum of them on their own. We encourage one another as we praise God together. I'm more inclined to praise Him. I see more of His blessings when you say, oh yeah, God gave me this blessing. Oh, that's right, He gave that to me too. And it builds up. Why would we hold that back from one another? Why wouldn't we celebrate our great God together? The only answer I can think of is we think that our situation is more significant than God. We think that just because things didn't turn out according to our plan, they're not going the way we want, they're not going good the way we define it, that obviously it's more significant than God Himself. That's the only reason I can think of for not sharing that. Let me clue you in. God is so much bigger than anything we could go through. He uses even the worst circumstances. Think about it. Would it actually be good for your brothers to hate you so much they sell you into slavery? To be away from your family for 30 years? To be thrown into prison on false accusation? To have your entire country go into economic ruin and face famine? And yet Joseph was able to say, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Read his story again. Whenever we struggle with that. All right, back to Psalm 111 in verse 2. He says, great are the works of the Lord and studies by all who delight in them. Let me encourage you. This morning, let's refuse to let our situation determine our satisfaction. Let's refuse to let our situation determine our and decide our satisfaction. I love the way Spurgeon put this based on this verse. He said, in design, in size, in number, in excellence, all the works of the Lord are great. Even the little things of God are great. He says, great are the works of the Lord. And he says that if we study God's works, there is delight to be found in them. We might not find joy in our situations, but we can find true delight in the God who is working all things according to the counsel of His own will for good. The works of God are great, greater than any work humanity can achieve. That's one of the reasons we have to be grateful for no matter what. God is still working in the midst of this. Don't buy the lie that He's not. Don't buy the lie that He has abandoned us. Don't buy the lie that He is done. Oh, He has far from had this. The psalmist goes on. Full of splendor and majesty is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. His works evidence His character. Our thanksgiving is so much more than just what God has done. It's a declaring of who He is. We can praise God endlessly because of what He has done, but we can also never run out of things to be grateful for simply because of who God is. Did you mean it when you sang a moment ago, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus. You don't owe me anything. More than anything you can do, I just want You. Did you mean it? Or was that just another song? Because if it were true, we would never run out of reasons to be grateful. His character is worthy of praise. God is gracious. He is merciful to those who trust in Him. He is just and firm with those who reject Him. He is unchanging and upright in every way. Like His works, God is worth pondering, glorious, right, memorable, compassionate, generous, powerful, faithful, enduring, and redemptive. That is something worth giving thanks over. If we cannot rejoice in our circumstances, we can always rejoice in God. Let me say that again. If we can't rejoice in our circumstances, we can always rejoice in God. Because Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. If God is always good, there's always something good. There's always something to praise Him for. Psalmist continues, He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. He didn't let His works that He did throughout history just pass into oblivion. Not only do we have them written for us in this book, we also have biographies and historical accounts of what God has done throughout history, and each one of them is covered with His fingerprints. And for those things, we have every reason to praise God. Rich, you mentioned some things that people are upset that we might be losing. He let us have those things for 200 years. What a good and gracious God that He would give us that exception in history to have religious freedom. See, God doesn't want us to forget about the things that He has done. That's why 43% of the Bible is narrative. Nearly half of the Bible is story about what God has done. God wants us to remember the things He's done and that tell us about Him. He knows that we have a short memory, don't we? We forget what He's done in our own life. That's why He gives us the written record of what He has done throughout the history of His people. And then He says, God has given us food, basic provisions. The very fact that we're not starving this morning, that we're not suffocating this morning, that we have a roof over our head, clothes on our back, that's a provision from God. The Scottish poet Robbie Burns wrote a brief prayer. Some ham eat and cannot eat, and some can eat will want it, but we ham eat and we can eat, and so the Lord be thanked. To put it shortly, some people have food, don't have the health to eat it, don't have teeth in their mouth. Some people are hungry and can eat, but don't have the food. We have it. God's given us both. That's a reason to praise Him. That's a reason to praise Him. God has given us basic provisions. This was a major part of Israel's history as God provided for them over and over again with quail, manna, and water in the wilderness, literally providing them their daily provisions and no more than that. But it is no less true for us today. Our houses might not be the tents that they lived in, but it is no less a shelter built by God's hands just for us, given to us as a gift. And we might not have to go out and gather the manna every day for food, but who gave you the job that paid for the groceries and the skill to work it? God. The very fact that we are breathing and not starving, that we have shelter, that's a blessing that we should not overlook. Imagine with me for a moment if it were all gone. If you walked out of here today to a house burned to ashes, all your possessions in it gone, a crushed economy, your life savings gone, would you still be grateful? Would you still have reason to be thankful? Yes, you would. Because God is still good. God is still doing good things. Continuing on, the psalmist says this in the verse 7. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy, and they are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and unrighteousness. Look, God is faithful and dependable. He is the same God when there are thousands of reasons to give thanks, and He is still the same God when there are only a few things that we could possibly think of to be thankful for. Same God, still worthy of praise. God has given us eternal spiritual blessings, one that have infinite value, our salvation, our promised kingdom where He will reign supreme in perfect peace. And finally, the psalmist drives this point home with one final matter that should cause us to rejoice and celebrate even in the darkest of moments. He says this, He sent redemption to His people, looking at the bottom of this passage here. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Now we need to be careful here not to read in the Christian view of redemption through Jesus Christ. He hadn't shown up on the scene yet. The Psalms were written long before Jesus showed up. The redemption He's talking about here is the redemption of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. God redeemed His people out of slavery. God had made a promise to their ancestor Abraham that they would be a nation. And God kept His covenant with Abraham and delivered them from chains. He redeemed them from slavery. But it's the same promise to Abraham that God said every nation on the earth would be blessed through His seed, through His child and His son, Jesus Christ. It is the same promise for us that points to Christ, the one who redeemed us from slavery to sin. Look, if Israel could rejoice because of political freedom, how much more reason do we have to rejoice because of the spiritual freedom that is ours? How much more reason do we have to be thankful? God is God is faithful. He has kept his promises. Even in our darkest moments, those are a daydream compared to the hell that he redeemed us from. That means we have eternal reasons to be thankful because we were spared from an eternity in hell. The worst things we go through are so easy compared to what hell is. That means even the worst things we go through are a blessing compared to hell. Finally, he says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever." Once we see all that God is, once we see all that God has done because of who he is, the only right response is to fear him, to worship him, to obey him, to follow him, to let him take the lead and say, "God, it's all in your hands." And then he says, his praise endures forever. Look, if God's praise endures forever, that means the reasons to praise him endure forever too. Even right now, even in 2020, as foreign as that might seem to us. And this sharing, as a reminder, cannot be limited to personal, private praising God. And it can't just be limited to what we do here this morning. It can't just be limited to November 26, 2020, or any other Thanksgiving. It's got to be a daily lifestyle. Many will not be able to connect to loved ones, so connect to a few neighbors or friends during this season. I mean, for my family, we're doing a Facebook room while we're having our Thanksgiving dinners because none of us can be together. Do something like that with coworkers, neighbors, shut-ins, people that you know simply can't connect to others. Visit with them on their front porch, call them, write them a letter, and join in the conversation with them. And when you do, bring up things that you are thankful for about God. Just say, "Hey, look, this is time of Thanksgiving. Can I just share a few things that I'm thankful for?" And open the table for them to do the same thing, to share something to be thankful for about God, or to God, or just thankful in their life if they don't know God. Shine that light on him in those dark times. But if we can't do it here this morning with other followers of Christ, how are we ever going to do it with those outside and far from him? God's activities, the things that he's done, are an endless spring flowing with reasons for us to be thankful. And his character is a never-ending well that we can pour that into, an eternal cistern that we can pour our gratitude into, and it will never be filled. It will never, ever overflow. So now it's your turn. I've said my piece. Those of you online, I hope you're sharing things that you are grateful for, because we'll have some people sharing those up here this morning. What are you thankful for? What has God shown himself to be to you this year that you are grateful for? The mics are open. I'm going to sit down, and we're just going to share as a family. Let's pray before that starts. God, would you open our hearts and minds to be thankful, to be grateful, to be truly delighted in you. Lord, may we praise you in the congregation of the faithful. May we declare your mighty works on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm thankful for this church and Pastor and my family, and this church I see totally the work of God through everybody. I mean, Pastor Aaron's sermons, they're the best. And my family, thank you guys, you're awesome. I couldn't wish for any more better.
This is from Deborah Bell online. She says, "I'm so thankful for an amazing church family that is always there for everyone and our pastors and their families. We can't be more thankful for all of you in this time of need with our family. Thank you all. We appreciate and are so thankful."
I'm thankful to God for this, my church family. Every time I've gotten to the point in my life, especially this past year, that I think, I'm not going to get through this. I can't do this. I've said, okay, I'm going to ask for help, which is hard for me to do. I start, stand on your own two feet, fight your own battles. Don't ask for help. That's big crock. Don't buy into it. Ask for help when you need it, because every time I've asked for help, you people have done more for me than I could ever do on my own. And I want to say thank you to everybody and praise God for all of you. I mean, without you, I wouldn't be here. And I mean that quite literally. I would not be here. So thank you to all of you.
I was walking out of the woods on Friday, and I got to my truck, and there lays an aluminum can that was squished, and there's a piece of wood on it. I usually throw them in the back of my truck and give them to my dad, and he recycles. So I reached down and pulled it, and it didn't come. And I thought, because of the wood on, I thought, whoa, I missed a real good chance to cut my finger wide open. Oh, I did. Yeah. So what's that got to do with being thankful? That's a little thing. And if you, everybody knows that when you cut your finger or stub your toe, you bounce it off everything. And I went to write in my journal that night. I couldn't write because my finger sliced open, so I had to bandage it up. Okay. Look at the rest of the life, though. I got a truck, I got a family, I got grandkids, I got so many things, and there I was dwelling on a stupid little finger. Okay, how many great things we have in this world, okay, from our church family to our family at home to a home. We have so many great things, and we always dwell on the little thing that irritates us. Or the big thing that irritates us. COVID's a big thing, but it irritates us, okay? I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for so many things. My finger's not going to slow me down. COVID's not going to slow me down. Praise God.
Amen. I'm very thankful to God for revealing the cancer to us early enough that Eric could be helped and healed. And I'm thankful to all of you for crying with us and praying with us this year.
I'm thankful to the Lord for saving me, number one. And when I was dead in my trespasses and sins and without hope, there's a verse in Ephesians that says, but God, who is rich in mercy, poured out his love to us and gave us the way of salvation. I'm just thankful for that. I thank the Lord as I look back on my life. I thank the Lord for giving me a wonderful wife. We are celebrating Thursday, our 44th anniversary, and it seems like a day. I mean, it really does. You young people, when us older folks tell you that life goes by so fast, it does. Be thankful, enjoy your families, your children, and be thankful for them. But I'm just thankful that, you know, a lot of people don't get to experience love. And not only have I experienced the love of God in salvation, but I've experienced the love of a faithful wife that just stood by me. A lot of people wouldn't stand by me because I'm always gone. I know, Kathleen, you know how it is when Tony's always going, and I'm not around like a lot of people are, but I've had a wife that stood by me and takes care of things when I'm gone, and just has been a real blessing. And I am thankful for a church, too, that stands by me. And I'm thankful for the Word and that God has given me the privilege to be able to teach and to share. We don't have anything better to share than the Word of God to other people. What a powerful tool to bring people to Christ. And so don't be quiet about it. If you would, I challenged my Sunday school class this morning. I said, take a minute each morning this week as we approach Thanksgiving and read Ephesians chapter 2. And then think about the things you're thankful for. And praise the Lord. Thank you.
Mary Beth Reese from online. I'm thankful for God's grace, love, and mercy. I'm thankful for his comfort and strength in hard times. I'm thankful for Jesus and the blood that was shed on the cross for my sins. I'm thankful for my family, church family, and friends. Happy Thanksgiving. From Ruby Wright, I am grateful for God providing for my family during my unemployment that I'm facing. Judy Adams, I'm thankful for God being a constant in my life. I'm thankful for a pastor who preaches the word from the Bible and does not let the word sway him. Helen Knapp, I'm thankful to God having his hand on Dino. He has no side effects from the head bleed. Amen. Dan McPhail, I'm thankful for God's provision for taking things away from me. Charlotte White, we are so thankful for family. Thank the Lord for being with our son Eric and our son-in-law Jim as they battled cancer this last year and brought them through it cancer-free. Praise the Lord. Bill McPhail, I'm thankful for the health and strength I have to continue to work.
I'm thankful for the career that God has led me to where I can encourage people, and it's a great way to share God's word. And I'm thankful for all the babies in our family now, and the praise team we have, and the girls' Bible study that's in our church. It's been a blessing.
Yeah, I'll just follow that up. Many years ago, well, when we were going to have a baby, and I was working at the mill, and we found out the mill, they decided to have them, they merged with another company, and found out that shortly after that, the mill was going to close. This was August 31st, 2001. And it was a trying time. Shortly after that, there was 9/11. And sometimes I thought, what are we doing bringing life into this world? It's so corrupt. And now I can embarrass her a little bit. Tomorrow, it'll be 19 years that Madison was born. And God saw us through that. And we're in another time similar to that. And I really haven't asked Brock or Hayden, you know, what do they think about, but we've got grandkids coming into this corrupt world. But God always sees us through. And like Aaron said, don't look at the shadows, look at the light. Thank you.
You know, myself, like most people, I take for granted what I should be thankful for. And I don't thank God enough. And that's for sure. So one thing that I am thankful for, the first thing that comes to mind, is that my late wife, Kath, led me to Christ. I'm glad that, I'm grateful that I was in her life and she was able to lead me to Christ. I don't know what I would have done when I think. I don't know what I'd have done without him today. Yeah, he's helped me through some pretty hard times, and he's got me through them. Of course, most of you know that I have an addiction. I haven't been in my addiction for 36 years now. But I still go to them meetings. And I didn't start going to them meetings because I wanted to. God directed me. God saved my life, this life on earth. And I'm grateful, so grateful for that. You know, any one of us could probably stand here and talk all day and name things that we're grateful for. As I see, short and long of it is, everything we have or ever had or ever will have, we should be grateful for, because God gives us everything. It all belongs to him. We belong to him.
From Paula McPhail, I'm so thankful for the gift of salvation and the many blessings, the love and support of our church family, for those who are ready to lift needs and concerns up in prayer. For my husband, Jane, Sam, and family that God has blessed me with so that we can love and care for each other, thank you for your continued prayers for Sam and Jane. From Jane Larimore, God has done an amazing thing in my life this past year. I took my last class for my master's in the fall of 2017, yet because of life circumstances and the emotional and mental toll my time overseas, ministry, and all the changes that had taken place, I was completely overwhelmed and unable to even look at my thesis research without having a panic attack. I thought I would never finish, but I praise God for this healing and grace because this year, during the COVID shutdown and the months that followed, I was able to finish writing my master's thesis. I'm scheduled to defend December 10th, and I will finally have my master's in ethnomusicology and be able to send my paper back to the people of Nagaland to help develop their church music.
I want to thank God for his burdens that he lays on us. The older I get, the more I learn that the burdens that God places on us are some of the greatest, or they are the greatest blessings there are. In 2019, my mother with dementia was growing worse, but still wasn't in a facility. And we had moved her to the Pennsylvania house, which was a big help some years before that. But it got to the point where I had to get down every morning, noon, and night for pills and for meals and for laundry and for anything and everything that you could think of. And that can be really burdensome when you're trying to, you know, raise a family and hold a job and all these other things. It just felt like there wasn't a moment of time for myself. But through that, I grew very, very close to my mom again. And I don't mean that we weren't close. We've always been close. But now we had all this time together, so much time that I wouldn't have spent had she not had that need. And so she went into the nursing home in February. And the very next month, they shut down. And now I can't see her at all. And I see her by video, and it's here and far between. But I think to myself, what if I wouldn't have had that opportunity to spend all that time with her? She would have been devastated through this, and so would have I. But it's hard, but that really helped us out a lot. And so I just encourage you, if you're going through a tough time, the Lord will turn that around, and it'll pay dividends like you could never even imagine. And I'm very, very thankful that he puts those hardships in our lives, because they're really what shapes and makes us and gives us the blessings that we then enjoy for eternity.
I forgot one more thing. I'm thankful for my friends. The most ones I'm thankful for is you, Austin, and Stephen and Rocky. I know I think it was like a month ago, Austin and Steve came over, and we had laughs. I don't know what it is. When Steve and Austin and me together, we always laugh, and I just love it. So just thank you for being a great friend.
In many ways, 2019 was my 2020 with the loss of my brother and just the grief of that. And not to minimize this year at all, it's been very difficult with all the restrictions and less socialization, tougher times at work, losing hours. But then I look at this year and I really look at every blessing, and I see life in the back here with my daughter that's able to be with me this morning. I see life when I look at Elena and I's marriage. She's back at work now and actually sleeping today, but working night shift, I know, is tough on her. And I got to spend all last night with Hadley, my daughter, and we spent the whole night together. I'll say that. I, you know, probably only slept about maybe four and a half hours. She was, you know, giving me my money's worth, but I'll take those moments and that time over anything, really. I mean, when you really look at it, it's probably the best way that you can lose sleep, and it just really, you know, lets me realize how blessed I am in my life. And I'm really blessed with the church family here, with all your prayers, providing diapers and, you know, all different necessities. And When I really look at this year, I'm really thankful. I know we're going to get through it, and I know we're going to grow stronger in ways that we probably can't see. And that's just a reminder I think we all need to look into every day and just realize that we're not alone and realize that there's people that love us and realize, number one, that God loves us. And he's the same as he was yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. So I think that should be our true hope. Thank you.
And from Gloria Kaddish online, in all things we are to be thankful. It's easy to be thankful when times are good. If we did not have bad times and suffering, we would not be relying on God. I have suffered great losses in my life, especially the loss of my own dear son, Steve. But I am so very thankful that God gave us this beautiful boy, even if it was just for 27 short years. Although we live in constant heartbreak, we still thank God for our blessings because we have many to be thankful for. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. And I'm also thankful for Jesus' blood and salvation and my family, friends, and my church family. This year, 2020, we would not be able to get through without each other. So I'm so thankful for each and every one of you.
I am so thankful for so many things. I'm thankful for God, his son Jesus, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that Jesus came and shed his blood so that we could have salvation and life abundant. I'm so thankful for the Word of God that the Holy Spirit brings to life. There's that the gospel, the Word, is the answer to every question in life that you might have, that I might have, including our circumstances now. I'm so thankful for the love of family and friends and for my church family. And yes, I'm thankful for the gift of music that we can praise him with because he is worthy of our praise. So I'm thankful for so much this morning, and I just give honor and glory to the Lord and to God who looks over us, and all we have to do is look to his word. And I'm so thankful for prayer. Prayer is an amazing gift he has given us. We can go right to the throne of grace, right to the foot of God on the throne and give him all of our requests. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. And I think that's the hardest part, is waiting. But I'm telling you what, I'm excited. I'm really excited for what God is going to do. Just wait.
I figured instead of sharing everybody else's, I should share my own blessings. With COVID, a lot of people were out of work, and I substitute. And so last spring, I didn't have work, and we weren't really sure what the Lord was going to do. But I am so thankful that the school chose to open. I could not put up teaching my children. That is not a gift that I have. And through that unexpected, I've had work every day at the school. So I'm so grateful for the Lord's financial provision and the opportunities that he's given me there to speak the gospel. I've had students asking me questions, and it's been such a joy to be able to answer those questions in a very dark place. And through his financial provision, the Lord allowed us to pay off Aaron's school loans. So I'm so grateful that we now have that financial freedom.
As a pastor, I can tell you that no ministry is ever just one person. Ever. And that includes being pastor. I'm very grateful for the men and women that, do through music, lighting, video, everything in the back of the house. Oh my goodness. The fact that we can reach people at home. 1918, Spanish flu broke out and churches closed and they just weren't able to meet, period. People didn't hear. Preachers weren't able to preach. And that is like one of the worst things in the world if you tell a preacher he can't preach. Like, this is what God has called me to do. And we've been able to do that every week. Thank you all for, I'm grateful to God for a church family that is adaptive, that is willing to make sacrifices, that is truly willing to serve. Thank you, every one of you. I'm also grateful for a wife that puts up with the craziness that goes on here. When we get that call, middle of the night, and she understands. She knew what she was getting into, by the way. She was raised a pastor's child, so she knew. And she was still crazy enough to marry a pastor. So I'm grateful to God for my wife, my two kids, our home that we get to welcome you all into. And we are truly grateful. It's been 5 years that we've been here. seems like just yesterday, and it feels like we belonged since day one. And I'm grateful. Many pastors just go, all right, I've got 2 more years, 7 years, I'm out. I want to retire here. That's my hope. Not soon. Don't clap for that. I'm not announcing my retirement. Guys, stop. But I am truly grateful to God for a church family that is a church family. I'm not just a person on staff. That we are family, and I truly appreciate that. Praise God. I don't want to cut anybody else, so if there's any more, now's the time. If you think, God might be prompting me to say this, okay, here's your clue. Yes, he's telling you to say it. So come on up now. We want to make sure that we're sensitive to time.
I just want to say that I know that during hard times, it's easy to look around and obviously see the hard times, but I'm very thankful for the community we live in and how, even in our small town, we're always able to be there for one another. Like, I've loved seeing people come together for the Run for Adam, as well as, to come together to make sure that, like, the Tyrone seniors can have their prom and that, like, our siblings and our kids can go play their sports. And I'm just thankful for all the support and love that I've seen throughout these past couple months in our community. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Yeah, as Pastor Aaron was talking and stuff, and it really just brought up Philippians chapter 4, and I just wanted just to give out God's word, is that rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, and the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God will surpass your understanding and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Father, you have never failed. You have never been anything less than praiseworthy and worthy of our greatest thanks and gratitude. Lord, we repent of our ingratitude. We bow our knees to the God who is worthy of every glory and praise and honor we could ever bring. Even in the midst of times like these, God, you are infinitely praiseworthy. Lord, we are sorry for the times that we have been looking for something from you rather than looking for you. Lord, may we see the blessings that come from you as just something that comes from you, not something meant to replace you. May our focus and our affections be on you in this season and forevermore. God, may we continually praise you. May people look at us and wonder, wow, what have they got that I don't? May they see you in us. May your praise pour out, not just this week, but from now on. May people hear your praise on our lips and they see the joy in our life. May there be a resounding cry from your people, our God is worthy. Lord, would you make us a people appealing to the world around us for you? May they see the blessing that you truly are in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. As we go out this week, Thanksgiving is not about stuffing our face with turkey and cranberry sauce. Whatever sick person eats that. I'm a sick person. I like cranberry sauce. We are going out to praise God. Let's smile and thank God and praise Him so much people wonder what's wrong with us. Let's be people for His praise. As you go, may you go in peace.